all praises to God, the creator of the universe and their sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his choicest blessings be on the seal of his prophets, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny. We will start with unfinished work from yesterday. That was, I was hoping to finish the full hadith of the holy prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and started it, but two-thirds down the road I became diffident that the clock may not allow me to do that and I should not overlook the time of the night. So I left it halfway, but I wish to pick up the loose ends. We were dealing with the negative side of Sakarat, negative side of the time when the soul comes out of the body. And I was discussing the hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, when he said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that three categories of people will have a very difficult time when death will come. The first of them is a ruler who is unjust to his people, who treats his people unjustly, causing them hardship and difficulty. The second group of people are people who usurp properties of foreigners. They may be trustees, they may be debtors of Marhum, and knowing that the heirs exist, and yet they do not disclose to the heirs that they owe money to Marhum. And if these heirs are young people who do not have information of the business of their father, or if the books of the father do not show that money is due, then hiding their debt and depriving those orphans of their legitimate due causes great pain at the time the soul comes out of the body. And thirdly is in respect of those people who give false evidence. Either they commit perjury. If they commit perjury, then it's an offense in this world and an offense in the hereafter. But in between also, when death comes, that death is a very severe death for them. The kind of death I described yesterday, when the angel of death comes with a club of fire. And it is with a club of fire that he removes the soul from the body. So you can see how painful it is. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, wish to describe exactly how the dying person feels. And he says, if you want to have an idea, think of a silken piece of cloth. If that silken piece of cloth is put on a tree with thorns, and then that silken cloth is stretched out, all those thorns getting into the thread of the silken cloth, into all those threads of silk, what a tearing of that silken cloth that would cause. Such is the tearing that the body feels when there is a severe removal of the soul from the body. And so those who give false evidence, and false evidence, as I said, could be perjury. But perjury is if you give false evidence on oath, either in a court of law or even on affidavit. Or if it is not in a court of law or an affidavit, it can be in a private way. For example, if there is a conciliation that the Jamaat is making in between a creditor and the heirs, and the creditor tells a lie, he says, I say for sure that this is not due to me. Evidence which may not be on oath, but the result of it is that those heirs are deprived of their legitimate share. The common thread in all these three classes of people is that they have deprived people who are helpless. The ruler, and we know this throughout the world today, the ruler has all the power in his hands. The innocent people cannot do anything. The example of what happened in Bangkok recently, how the government was able to use its power and innocent people who were citizens who were without arms, totally unarmed, could not face up to the force of the government. Ultimately, the people succeed, and India is a great example of how non-violence was the spirit in which India obtained her independence from the British. On the spirit of non-violence, and the people did not use violence, and yet the British administration used power on the Indians. Not only used sticks, used guns, even fired shots at them, and killed a number of Indians in their struggle for independence. So you can see, those with might use their might without regard to what is right. That kind of person, Allah starts punishing him even before he is totally dead. The second group of people, as we saw, are people who are orphans. They are now helpless people. They rely on the help of the elders to bring justice to them. And yet, these very elders go behind them and deprive them of their legitimate share at a time when their breadwinner has gone. So you can see a helpless situation, and Allah, glorified and exalted, however merciful He is, will not tolerate that sort of a condition in which the powerful suppress and oppress the powerless only because Allah has given them the might, Allah has given them the strength to be able to do. That strength was never given to them so that they can oppress other people. It was given to them so that they can help other people. And that is the test. Dua-i Kumail. I will not let myself slip into Dua-i Kumail, because again, it will consume a lot of time. But in that dua, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks of the situation in which people who have power abuse their power, and talks of how severe is the punishment of Allah for such people, and prays that for forgiveness in this world. And the third set of people are people who have no evidence, and those who have evidence lie against them and deprive them of their property, deprive them of their rights. Well, that is a great injustice against somebody who is powerless, who has no means to defend himself. And when the strong ones do injustice to defenseless people, the mercy of Allah stops and His wrath starts descending. Because of course He is Arhamur Rahimin, but He is also Qahhar. And when the situation requires that He should use His strength and power to suppress and to punish those who have done wrong in such circumstances, He does not hesitate to do so. Fantastic explanation on this matter is in Dua-i Intizar. I say Dua-i Intizar because you recite that dua in the holy month of Ramadan. In the very first paragraph of that dua, the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu, talks of how Allah, glorified and exalted, has opposite qualities. He is Arhamur Rahimin, He is Qahhar, He is mighty, and yet He is compromising with His people. Conflicting qualities. And He shows how those conflicting qualities are harmonized by Allah, glorified and exalted, in His exercise of His divinity. That is a beautiful essay by the Dr. Imam alayhi salam. I do not wish to get into it because our time is limited, and I'm still already in arrears with the last night's agenda. I haven't got to tonight's agenda. But I invite you to look at that paragraph, and it will show you how conflicting qualities of Allah are harmonized and how He deals with the appropriate quality at the appropriate time. When the situation is that an oppressor has oppressed a person, He will deal with him in that way. A simple example, and I only do this because it is already the second eve of Muharram, so it is consonant with the times in which we are, give you just one example and move on, and it is this. Allah Ta'ala says He will forgive sinners These are Murahmin. On the day of judgment, he will particularly forgive those who have accepted the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt. Despite that, to please the Holy Prophet, he has given him the right of Shafa'ah. I do not wish to discuss Shafa'ah in detail tonight. It is our subject on the Ashura night. And we shall inshallah discuss Shafa'ah on that particular night. Now Shafa'ah comes into this role of accounting for our deeds and how it will help us immensely. But the point I want to make in this context is this, that even when he is given him the power of Shafa'ah, he has withheld that power in certain respects. For example, shirk. If somebody associates anything with Allah glorified and exalted, there is no Shafa'ah for that offense. And one of the exceptions to Shafa'ah is that there will be no Shafa'ah whether the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, likes it or not. He will have no right to make Shafa'ah to intercede on behalf of anybody who has directly or indirectly, closely or remotely taken part in the murder of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his family in Qatar. Now that was an oppression at its highest, and for that oppression there is no Shafa'ah at all. And Allah would have made the removal of the soul from the bodies of all those people who were there to kill Imam Hussain alayhi salam, either in Karbala or they were in Damascus, directing how oppression should be levied on Imam Hussain alayhi salam, or they were in Kufa, all of them. That is why I said directly or indirectly, closely or remotely engaged in the murder of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So, for those of us who are key to ensure that we have an easy time when death comes, because it will come, and it will come at the appointed hour and nobody can stop it. So common sense directs us to be prepared for it. And if it can, prepare ourselves to have an easy death, because that is available to us, particularly those who love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And whilst I've said this, let me complete the hadith. That also is a hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri from the Holy Prophet himself, peace be upon him and his progeny. I've deliberately taken a neutral companion. I have not taken an absolutely pro-Ahlul Bayt companion. And I want to be careful to make sure that the hadith I put to you are neutral ahadith, the hadith that you can rely upon and trust. The book that I am primarily relying on is a book on this subject, Manazil al-Akhirah, by Sheikh Abbas Qumi. And I picked the book by Sheikh Abbas Qumi only because he is not only known as an alim, he is known as a muhaddith. A muhaddith is a person who goes through every hadith with a comb, and he makes certitude. He does not just assume correctness. He makes certitude. In other words, he is absolutely sure that hadith is valid and authentic before he reports it. And he reports in his book Manazil al-Akhirah that if Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reports from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and he was present when the Holy Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, Ya Ali, give the good news to all those people who love you and love our Ahlul Bayt, that the time when the soul will come out from their body will be the easiest of the time. And this is all that he requires us to have love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And if that's in question, you would not be here if you did not have love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. What would you be doing here, except for the fact that it's the days of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, leaving your other commitments in the world and coming down here at this kind of hour, wearing black clothes, is not for nothing. That in itself is proof of love. And hence I say to the youth all along and everywhere I go, that it's extremely important that they keep this azadari going. They keep these majalis going. They are a fantastic system that we have in our community, which by the way others do not have. This this setup in which we are able to gather and to discuss these things with one another, not only increases knowledge, which is so important, but it keeps the community united. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the one who keeps us in nexus, who keeps all those who love him in close ties and in love of each other. And I will come back to this in another context later in the evening, inshallah. Well, that is the aim, that it should happen later, this issue. Well, so, such is our case. We have the good fortune of the hadith to say that our sakarat will be very easy because the love of, and I will, tomorrow night I will give you a fuller hadith on this particular subject, inshallah. But love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is by itself enough. Is by itself enough to make our period at that time very light and easy. And it's easy to understand that. Let nobody be baffled by what I am saying. It is because Allah glorified and exalted loves Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And if he loves Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, he loves him who loves Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And if Allah has the authority to make a situation easy for such a person, he will do so. But he has sent his Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny to say that he will not do so for those people who, and I am taking the gifts from those three classes, he will not do so in respect of people who have been given strength, and have been given strength, and abuse their strength against people who are helpless, and people who cannot defend themselves. Well, you might consider, because this is not in the hadith, I have honestly told you what the hadith says and great category of people. But those husbands who oppress their wives, the wives may be defenseless, ladies in the home, the husband has got the strength to oppress them and be unjust to them. I fear very strongly that those husbands may have a hard time in Sakara. They might find that Allah says, I gave you this woman under your household, I made you her boss. Instead of treating her kindly, you were unjust to her, you oppressed her, you used your hands over her. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, always condemned that sort of action. There is that hadith. And I was going to come to it a few nights later, maybe as the subject has arisen, I could speak on it now. Companion of the Holy Prophet is very well known, and when he died, the Holy Prophet himself gave him Muslim. Now who else can he want? How can you be more fortunate than that? That the Holy Prophet gave you. The Holy Prophet gave him Muslim, and after giving him Muslim, recites namaz on his body, accompanies his coffin up to the grave, takes part in the burial of that companion of his, and when everything is over, the grave is laid, the Holy Prophet doesn't move from there. People come to him and say, Ya Rasulullah, don't we go now? And he was crying. And when he was crying, people said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? He said, I am crying because there is pishab on this companion of mine. He was my good companion, we were friends. And I can now only cry. Who is there to help in such circumstances more ably, more competently than the Holy Prophet himself? Because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had authority on earth and authority in the hereafter and authority in the grave. He could easily, standing where he was, he could easily have told those angels of wrath, angels of punishment, get out from here, this is my companion and I don't want you to touch him. He could have done so, and he didn't. Instead, he was only crying by himself. I wanted to discuss this when we were discussing, Fishar. Fishar is the squeezing in the grave. Now, this is a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He is the companion of the holy prophets. Angels attended his funeral, and yet he is having isha, that is compassion. So people turn around to him and say, why? We always knew him as a noble man. We have never seen a sin committed by this man. He says, yes, all that the holy prophet, peace be upon him, and his prophet explained, is totally true. All you are saying is true. This is how I saw him, but at home he was not kind to his family, and he was particularly unmerciful to his wife. Not only that could perhaps be cured, but he was cruel to her. Now that negative part is absolutely unforgivable. And Allah, glorified and exalted, does not forgive those people who, having received that station in life of having authority over other people, abuse that authority to cause them cruelty, to cause them oppression, to cause them harm. So the people said, what can we do to help our friend? So this, the brother, the prophet says, call his wife. The wife was called to that place, to the graveside. The holy prophet said, this is what is happening, and it's happening because of what he did to you. And the wife immediately says, Ya Rasulullah, if it is your wish, if it will make you happy that your companion is saved from this, by me forgiving him, I am prepared to forgive him. What a sacrifice for the sake of the holy prophet, peace be upon him and his prophet. But what a clever woman. What a clever woman. Whatever happened in the past, she has already suffered it. Now she took out an insurance policy of her forgiveness by pleasing the holy prophet in the way she pleased the holy prophet. Because Allah then would recompense her, would reward her so much more amply. Allah would make her much happier than she made the holy prophet. This is how Allah, glorified and exalted, operates. And when she forgave him, the holy prophet started laughing. It was those angels that were. So you can see that of Kisha and not the subject I'm discussing, where the soul comes up. But is it not by common sense also true that if this is the pattern, then those who are oppressive on defenseless people get problems, then he would also have had problems at the time the soul came out. So we need to be careful when we have authority in our hands. It may be authority, as I said, of a husband or a wife these days. It could be vice versa. It could be the wife harassing the husband. Because we hear those examples also, when wives have become more powerful than their husbands, and they could oppress their husbands. Equal rules apply, because there is equality before Allah. There is no gender discrimination there. So the rule is a rule of thumb, and applies generically. Applies equally to those employers who harass their employees in that particular way. Well, we got a little stretched out, but the point that I'm trying to make is that if we are preparing for the next life, then this bridge, as I called it, borrowing from the words of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when we are at this bridge, we need to be careful that to cross it smoothly, we must not do injustice. Because injustice is not acceptable to Allah and glorified in itself. Well, and this situation will come. I said yesterday we will go by ayahs of Quran so that we are sure. This is not something that is clear. This is the next world. So we will only deal with ayahs of Quran. Surah Kahf, verse 19, says clearly, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ will come for sure, بِالْحَقِّ. There is no avoidance of it. What is that word sakar? Sakar, that word sakar. You are in sakarat, when you are intoxicated. To use the colloquial terms, you are tipsy. That is how the dead person feels. He feels tipsy. He feels as though he has a hangover. That is the kind of situation in which he is, and he becomes totally helpless. Well, he does become helpless. We have seen that yesterday. That is the state which he is. Imam Ali alayhi salam deals with this particular subject in his khutbah. And you will find this in Sermon 109. I'm not taking you through the sermon because, as I said, we are behind schedule and we must catch up. But I give you the sermon number in which all this is discussed. It's 109. There is another one, which is sermon 20, in which he also discusses this. 20 is much shorter, 109 gives you more details of what happens at that point in time. I am content to tell you, do no injustice to anybody and have love of Ahlul Bayt sincerely. This is the bottom line. Sincerely love of Ahlul Bayt and Islam, and inshallah we should stay through easily. But we will go through greater details to make assurance doubly sure, because that is our human being act. He does not take things for granted. Well, and Imam Ali alayhi salam, after that sermon, was asked that, why is this so? Why have you described the situation in which when the angel is taking the soul from the body, why is the dead man oppressed? Why isn't he looking forward to the next journey? He says, primarily because of the love of the world. He has lived in this world. He is in a situation in which Malikul Maud, the angel of death, has already stopped his sound box from functioning. His tongue from speaking, so he can't speak anymore. His hands from moving. So one part after the other is rendered dead, is rendered lifeless. Because the soul, the ruh, is coming out. What provides life to the man is being removed. And at that particular time, he can still see, he can still hear, he can see his wife and his children crying and lamenting. And he laments because they are lamenting. But what is more serious for him, he makes a calculation. Now how many lakhs are in, I don't know which is your best banks, but wait, how many lakhs are in HSBC, how many are in Citibank, and he says, now how much am I left with, what can I do now? And he can do nothing about it at that time. He did not think when he accumulated the wealth, whether he is collecting it justly or unjustly. For unjust collection of wealth, zakat is very difficult. As I said, any form of injustice, particularly to even the other person, is defenseless. Well, and this is the fifth stage of terrorists. When he has the guns in hand and the grenades, and there are innocent citizens around, and he goes on shooting them, well, the solution will not be as they think. The solution will come to them as a horrible shock. However, coming back to what we were discussing, so Imam Ali alayhi salam says, it is that wealth that has been wrongly accumulated, and now he is leaving it behind. He is not able to take it with him. The only thing he can carry with him are his good deeds, which are few. Well, he gets really tipsy. He is unable to help himself. He feels the pangs of the body, of the soul, being removed from his body. And indeed, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said that حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَعْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَّةٍ. The love of this world is the head, he says. Is the head. Well, I will translate it as the root. Is the root of all evil, of all sins in this world. The love of the world. Well, actually that example of head from the Holy Prophet is a beautiful one. Because if there is no head, you can't see. If there is no head, you can't hear. If there is no head, you can't think. So head is everything. And he says it is the love of the world that makes one leads one to any kind of sin. You take any sin, its root cause is the love of the world. And one has got to keep out of the love of the world. If one is out of the love of the world, if there is no love of the world in our hearts, the love of death enters our heart. Then when the angel of death comes, he is a friend. He is friend because we love what we are going to receive after death. But the love of the world stops us from loving the next world. And this is why the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, live in this world, but treat the world as it needs to be treated. Do not treat it as something you love. Because if you love the world, know that the world is treacherous. And it will become treacherous to you. And at that time, it will let you down. The hadith, that is the meaning of this on the subject, which will enable me to cut short my discussion, comes from the fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin. We are talking of taking amal with us. He says, afdalul amal. Who doesn't want to know this? That what is the best deed you can do in this world? He says, afdalul amal. And he makes it very easy. Afdalul amal. Ba'da ma'rifatillah. Azza wa jalla. ورسالة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, after those two things, recognition of Allah, glorified and exalted, and acceptance of the apostleship of the messengerhood of the Risala of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, أفضل الأعمال أعمل بعد معرفة الله ورسالة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. بغض الدنيا is to have enmity with this world. Enmity not in the sense that you abandon the world altogether. Because if you do, then it is enmity with yourself. Because we are obliged to work. That is ibadah. When I said yesterday, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, ibadah is to work. When we go to work to earn halal sustenance, that is ibadah, and you know this too well for me to take your time on it. Because we have obligation to maintain our children, we have obligation to maintain ourselves, we have obligation to maintain our wives, we have obligation to maintain our parents, we have obligation to maintain the sick, we have obligation to maintain the orphans, we have obligation to maintain the widows. All these obligations are on us, which cannot be fulfilled unless we work. So, and that can only be done in dunya. Our Imam alayhi salam was foremost in agriculture, and they had farms where they were doing farming physically, personally themselves. And I covered this point when, for example, we were discussing the life of Imam Maqir alayhi salam in his debate with the Sufis. So, enmity does not mean we should abandon the world, but it means we should not be prepared to be slaves of the world. We should not be prepared to obey the world in every sense. Because it is this troubled dunya that causes all the problems. And it could be in various respects. It could be money. Love for money in this world. But you leave money behind and go away. The ayah of Quran in Surah Al-Qur'an, verse 25, كَمْ تَرَكُوا فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ. How many were there who left behind all the fountains, all their farms, all their beautiful, comfortable homes? All that they left behind. وَأَوْرَثْنَاهُمْ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. And we had other communities coming to inhabit those lands. They took over those lands. And those people who left them behind left them for good and got nothing out of them. So, this is how the world goes. That love to accumulate the wealth, the jannatin, the gardens, the farms, the fountains, the beautiful homes, all that is to be left behind and will not come with you and will not be useful to you. And if you have spent unlawful money in buying those properties, or have stolen those properties, or have been unfair to the people from whom you bought those properties, then you become king on the day of death. So it is a liability instead of being an asset in this world. It is a liability in this world and in the hereafter. So if it is money that is making us go after it, it's not going to help us then. We must have enough money to live honorably. Because that is the dignity of man, to be able to live honorably without having to beg, without having to stretch his hand. That is, of course, the dignity of man. But to accumulate wrongfully is indeed only looking for trouble, because it brings trouble even at the time of when the soul comes out of the body. And this is what the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, explains. Or it can be some of women. You know, as a practitioner, he can quote these three, four examples specifically. He quotes well. He quotes well none of women. Nobody is saying that we should not marry women. Now, that is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And when I was discussing the Prophet Imam alayhi salam, you will remember, I even said that he must have married, he must have children, he must have wives, because that is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And so must we. We must all do that. Indeed, we have greater limits than the world is prepared to give us. But it must all be done lawfully. Women must marry men lawfully, men must marry women lawfully. But it must all be done within those parameters that are permitted by Allah, so that the children that come out of those marriages are lawful children. I emphasize this because of that hadith of the Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He said that in Akhir al-Zaman, people will be untrustworthy. It will be hard to trust each other because most of them will be illegitimate people. And once that nutfah is najis, that nutfah which is najis is also unlawful, then its product cannot be children who are trustworthy. Hence we give a lot of importance to this aspect of the matter and do not allow illegitimate relationships between the sexes. But Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says that is another difficult part of Kabbalah. The third he taught is Riyasa, leadership. I should be the president. I cannot be the vice president. I should be the president. If there is a board of trustees, I must be the chairman. If there is a board of directors, I must be the executive director. Now that idea that I must be the top man, that Riyasa as it is called, headship, leadership, importance, that is another evidence of Kabbalah. And when you are dying and that you are divested of that position, that becomes difficult. But when there isn't that love for those aspects of life, that is smooth, it is easy, it takes place in the natural course of events. Well, but I do not want to keep laboring upon the negative side, so there is this positive side. There are those who, when Malikul Maut goes, when the angel of death goes, he goes with other angels, and the other angels give him good news, that we have come to give you good news. Salaamu alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma 'uqbad dar. This is what he said to him. This is what he said to him. And when, of course there are children in the world, and there are wives in the world. But when you have eminent angels who come and salute you like that, you feel like going away with them. You said that world was unfaithful to me, was hard on me, was treacherous on me. Here are honest angels who are saying salam to me. The higher category was to show salam alaykum bima sabartum. Our salams on you for the patience that you exercise. Whatever Uqbal Dar and what is waiting for you are beautiful bounties and permanent bounties that are waiting for you. And indeed, there are people who have been out after their death, whether they would like to come back to the world, and they would say, no, not even for a second. I can't leave what I've got here to come and live in that five-story mansion with 30 rooms, which is nothing compared to what I have. So even that sort of house is then seen as retrograde. And indeed, a lesser quality who may not have reached that level of sovereign, then except that we do not have the time to discuss that level of sovereignty, even the second category, they are saluted by the angels. They turn around to them and say, Salaamu alaykum bima amiltum wa bima kuntum ta'amalu. Salaams on you for what you did and for all that you did in all your life that you have brought back with you as your treasure. Instead of doing injustice to people, if we converted that into doing justice to people, being honorable to people, helping people. All that accumulates at that point in time in making that easy. And as I said, I'm not a part of laboring, so I'm even super. The sixth Imam al-Islam, and we can never end the discussion without the sixth Imam al-Islam, because his contribution has been so immense. And when we discuss his life, we discuss the various facets of life in which he made contribution. And he made contribution on this facet of life also. He says, he writes a letter to a friend and says, do you want me to tell you how you can have easy death? And how you can find your death an honorable death? That is what we want. Who has honored us in this world? Here are angels who are prepared to honor us into paradise. No greater honor than that. And then he says, I will tell you, the first thing that you need to do is to make sure that you value Allah. This is something we need to learn, to value Allah, glorified and exalted. He has been so kind to us. He has been so great to us. We do not value him. When we stand and recite two rakat namaz, we go back to mummy and say, mummy, I did pray my two rakat namaz. As though it is done to please mummy. We have got to inculcate in us this truth, this haqq, that Allah is the one who has done us greatest of favors, and we look to him to do us more favors. As I said yesterday, that Surah Waqia, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Even when the soul will come out of the body, Allah will be there. And we can tell him, we will not see him because Allah is never seen. But we can pray to him then that Allah be kind to me, and he will be kind. Because it is in his nature to be kind and merciful. Well, and so he says, value him and obey him. And then he says, having done that, make sure that you have love for Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, because sincere love for Ahlul Bayt provides you both these benefits. Firstly, it relieves you from pains of the pain and agonies of the pangs of death, and it also gives you honor at the time of your death. The angel saying, this is one who loved whom we have always loved. This has been the prayer of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, to Allah. He says, Ya Allah, Anna ahabbuhum tuhibbuhum. I love them, you love them. That Allah should love us is a prayer for us from the Holy Prophet himself, peace be upon him and his progeny. And if there is a Muslim who believes that the prayers of his Prophet is not accepted, he better not remain a Muslim anymore. It is impossible that Allah should not accept the prayers of his own emissary, of his own prophet, whom he sends to the world to be a prophet to the day of judgment. Well, so those are great benefits which we already have. Tomorrow night, inshallah, we will discuss a more extensive hadith of how things help in the grave. I was hoping to touch the grave tonight, but obviously I can't, and we will be one majlis behind, but we'll inshallah catch up in the days to come. But the reality of the matter is that a lot of these things that are hadith show help in the time of death are things we already do. As I said, we already have love of Ahlul Bayt in Islam that brings us here. And he says, respect those who have love of Ahlul Bayt in Islam. And be kind to those who honor Ahlul Bayt. Hence the importance that we help each other, that one lover of Ahlul Bayt must help another lover of Ahlul Bayt, even if it is in a small way. Because you never know, that small way might please the Twelfth Imam alayhi salam. You never know, that small thing might please Allah, and he might magnify it and make it a bigger thing for us. But there are a number of hadiths of what we can do to make sakarat easy. For example, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says that if you want sakarat to be easy for you, recite Surah Nisa on Fridays. And what is better than resuscitation of the Holy Quran? Indeed, what is a greater pleasure for us than reciting the Holy Book, which contains the words of Allah, glorified and exalted? Surah Nisa, he says, on that day, on a Friday. Surah Yasin, recited before going to bed, makes death easy and fresh up. Indeed, that dua which we do recite, the dua in which we say, Subhanallah al-Halim al-Kareem, Subhanallah rabbi al-Samawati al-Sab'a wa rabbi al-Azim al-Sab'a wa ma fihinna wa ma bainahunna wa rabbi al-Arshi al-Azim. We recite this regularly anyway. Regular recitation of that dua makes the pangs of death easy. The fast of the month of Rajab, for example, the last day of Rajab, at least from the 8th Imam alayhi salam, that if you keep your fast on the last day of Rajab, the pangs of death will be eased. Hadith from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, you fast on 24th Rajab, pangs of death will be eased. So there are all these ahadith that relieve us of pangs of death. Indeed, that dua, Bismillah ar-Rahman كل هم وغم ما شاء الله وكل نعمة الحمد لله وكل مصيبة سبحان الله ولكل ذنب استغفر الله ولكل مصيبة إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون ولكل ضيق حسبي الله ولكل قضاء وقدر توكلت على الله ولكل عدو اتصمت بالله ولكل طاعة ومعصية لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Now that's short dua. And it has immense power in it. Sakarat becomes easy. It becomes joyful. It becomes joyful. That idea of Malikul Maut coming to us, but it does not come with a clump of fire. In those circumstances, to a person who has gone up over the main and has supplemented it with all this, then he comes with love and affection. He comes honorably. He comes respectfully. And respectively, and there are these other angels giving you good news. It's a ceremony that you enjoy, and you enjoy passing on to that bridge over to the next world. Indeed, hadith say that is the time we will have the opportunity to see Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. I mentioned Sheikh Abbas Kuki earlier on. His teacher, he quotes his teacher. Shaykh Nuri, rahmatullah alayhi, Shaykh Nuri says that his teacher told him that he knew a student who died, and when that student died, he was dying, he turned to his teacher who was there and says, "Oh teacher, what am I seeing? I'm seeing a miracle of an Eid alayhi salam." And he says, "Assalamu alaykum ya Mawlai." He says, "I'm seeing the Holy Prophet. I'm seeing Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam." And the teacher says, "Yes, and believe it, that what you are seeing are them." Because the hadith are clear that at that time they come and they visit you. At the time they come and visit you. And if need be, help you sort out the pangs. Sort the angel of death out, because the angel of death is subservient to them. He follows their commands, because by the command of Allah, glorified and exalted. So, this is true, they come. We have the first opportunity then to be able to meet them and see them. But the more colossal hadith comes from Imam Rada alayhi salam. He got information that one of his companions was dying, so he visits him. When he visits him, the companion says, "Mawla, it is fantastic to see you here." So the other friends who were there turned around to him and said, "You know, it's fantastic to see our Rida alayhi salam. What great things have you said? What makes you say this?" He said, "Because I just met them all. I met the Holy Prophet as my soul, as Malikul Maut was preparing to take my soul. I met Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. I met Mishnah al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. I met Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam. And I met Zayd al-Abidin alayhi salam, and al-Bamir and al-Sadiq and I'm charging, and I'm not a reliance, and I'm just not. I saw the images, and I saw his image too. I see his image, and he comes in a life personality here to visit me. Colossal is the strength that Allah glorified and exalted has given from his faith. So what?
Muhammad salawat.
So you can see what pleasure it can, that situation can give. And indeed, a hadith which says that if you recite Surah Zilzal in mustahab namaz, then you will never be afflicted by earthquakes. And this is why when I go to Los Angeles, as inshallah I will be going for a Arba'een, but this is this year again, when I go to Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is famous for earthquakes, I always recite Surah Zilzal. The moment I land and I recite the Surah every day I'm there, it is protection from earthquakes, it's protection from lightning, it's protection from any worldly calamity. But more than that, when medical monks will be removing the soul from the body, then surah will turn up and will say to medical monks, careful, he always recited me in mustahab namaz, in sunnah namaz, and today is my turn to come and tell you to be kind to him. He always honored me by my recitation. Today is your turn to be kind to him and be merciful. Well, you can see how great that small dua, and I'm only talking about small duas here because that is easier to fulfill. We must only have targets that we can achieve. It is no use having targets that, it's no use me saying we recite 1,000 rakat. Of course anybody recites 1,000 rakat every night. We'll have an easy death, but it's not practical. But what is practical is to recite 7 times. After Fajr and 7 times after Maghrib, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billahi Aliyyil Azim. Now who cannot recite that? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billahi Aliyyil Azim, 7 times after Fajr, 7 times after Maghrib, in the morning and afternoon. But to make sure that we do, we link up with namaz so that we recite namaz, alhamdulillah, we recite that as part of Tahlibah. Indeed, and the consequence of that is that sakarat becomes there. But I mentioned earlier on that there will be those who at their death will be told salamu alaykum bima faratu wa ni'ma ukumata. Salam on you for the patience you have. And there is nobody who has exercised greater patience than Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And that is why we weep for him till today. And there is no group of family that exercised greater patience than the servant of Imam Hussein. And I want to discuss about only one daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam today. We discussed yesterday how he was set out from Medina, with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam joining her. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam made lists of men who will come with him, made lists of women who will come with him. That list of women was made by the Zainab alayhi salam, Fatima Zuhra, the daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, was excluded. And the open reason for it was she was having high temperature, she was having fever. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, I will not take Zuhra. They were all Fatima. She was Fatima al-Zuhra because she was young. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, I cannot take her because of this temperature. The path I am going through is a path of deserts, and in deserts, how will she cope with this fever when the temperatures will be so high? It will be wrong to take her. Zuhra was now. He's so disappointed, he's so heartbroken. He turns around to the Zainab alayhi salam, turns around to her mother, Bibi Rawab alayhi salam, and says, how can I remain alone here? You are all going. This won't happen, this will. How will I remain here? And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam says, Ummul Baneen will be with you. Stay with Ummul Baneen. But how was she going to take this situation? She prays to her father. The father is why should I forget you? Look at you, listen, giving Father, I will not complain. If I'm saying anything, even if you do not complain, we will see the situation in which you are. You will suffer, we will suffer. Remain when things are good, if things become good, I will stand up for you, come and collect you. As a solemn human being, Fatima Sugra, that problem became a pain for Fatima Sugra as well. Fatima Sugra now is waiting for Akbar to come. The day dawns, will Akbar come today? The day stands for Akbar and will come to pick me up today. And those days pass. Indeed, she turned around to Akbar and said to Akbar, you come and stay with me. And Akbar left into the left of Fatima Sugra. Imam Hussain alayhi salam whispers into the ears of Allah, saying, Allah, these lamps are certainly comfortable for you, but Karbala is waiting for you. You are the crown of my motherhood. If I will be murdered, the crown of my motherhood will be the sixth mother of child, and that is you. Allah leaps into these lamps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Now Sugra is alone. And this caravan moves, and this caravan moves. Sugra, as I said, keeps counting those days. Ultimately, she writes a letter to the father and says, oh father, Akbar hasn't come yesterday. You would never have given me a promise, except that you must have done your best to fulfill. Tell me when you are going to send him. Send my regards, convey my salam to my Uncle Abba. Send my salam to Akbar, my salam to my mother and my children to Allah. Can you imagine that letter is written by Imam Hussain alayhi salam on the neck of Akbar Sugra? When that letter reaches, he comes to the Sayyid alayhi salam and says, Sayyidam, I must convey the salam. How do I do it? Imam Hussain alayhi salam goes to the body of Akbar and says, Akbar, salam from Sugra Fakir. And the body of the bad shakes a little to left, goes to the body of Akbar and says, Akbar, Sugra is complaining. You haven't been to pick her up since today. When will you go? And when he reaches the grave in time for Akbar, he says, Akbar, what do I say? Sugra is waiting for you. Turns to that messenger and says, no, messenger, can my daughter who has given you this letter? I am soon to be killed. Tell her that you have seen all these bodies here. Tell her there has been no chance to stand up for the truth. But tell her that the Sugra, when you drink cold water, remember the sons of your father. Remember the sons of Akbar. Akbar asked for just little water for me and I couldn't give it. Akbar was started only for my asking for water for me. And don't ask too, Shiraphin, oh my dear, when you drink water, remember my son. This is the Wasiya of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. When this caravan comes back to you to Madina, maybe Sir Fatima Sugra is going to examine the lamps of all women. Maybe Zaira turns around into Sugra and says, Sugra, what are you looking for? She says, Hans, you told me that Sakina passed away in the prison. I couldn't believe it. I am looking for Akbar. Akbar would be there. And maybe Zaira says, Sugra, even Akbar would pass away. ألا لحمة وحكيمة القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا وهي مصطلح بهم قلبهم إلا لله وإلا إليه راجعون.